we have determined two things in the beginning of this series. We have determined that God is not opposed to prosperity, but that he is opposed to misaligned prosperity. Alignment is our responsibility. Alignment is what we are supposed to do. I really don't want God to align me. You say, what do you mean? Well, I've been in seasons of my life that I was so stubborn that I would not obey God, and so he kind of came down like your mama used to do, just get you right up under here, your ear right here, and just twist. Anybody ever had their ear twisted? I see some folk that need their ear twisted. But she would twist your ear until you submitted to whatever it is she was wanting you to do. That's why I do not want the Lord to align me. I want to get in his word and do what I need to do to make sure that my life is in alignment and make sure my life is in agreement. And so you have to be intentional. You have to be intentional about alignment. And so Sacred Season is helping us this new year. Here's the second thing we've established in this series, and that is that prosperity begins in the soul. Prosperity begins in the soul. Prosperity does not begin with possessions. It begins with purpose. That's where the turnoff came, because they have made prosperity about possessions. But John helped us with that divine order. 3 John 1:2, he helped us with that divine order to know that prosperity is not about the external. It's not about the stuff, but rather prosperity is about the internal. If I'm blessed on the inside, if I'm in alignment with his word, with his will, then it is going to show up on the outside. It's a bad deal. All external will corrupt the internal. That's why I've got to have alignment. So you're all caught up. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. 3 John 1:2, he said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." What a beautiful verse. I hope you've underlined it or highlighted it in your Bible, and maybe you've gone back and you've just sat with that for some time and just kind of let that marinate in your heart, because it is truth and it is promise and it is strength. He said, we are called to prosper in all things. That means he wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. And he said, not just the things that are big ticket items or just the glaring obvious things of your life, but he said, I want you to be in health. And all of that begins in the soul. Prosperity begins in the soul. So we started the first Sunday, prosper in sacred things, and last week we learned that God has a plan, and that is where that health comes in, because health, spiritual health, is more than physical. I believe John is talking in practical terms and in spiritual terms. He said, I want you to be strong in your body. I want you to be healthy in your body. I've got work to do on that. I want you to be strong in your body, but I also want you to be strong in your spirit. I want you to be strong in your mind. So we said in week one, God is going to ask us to prosper in areas that we may not expect, and today is one of those. I want to talk to you about prospering in purity. Prosper in purity. And I say this at the outset because I need to talk to you, I need to talk to us, I need to talk to me, I need to talk to this church. I speak to the capital C church, the church at large, about purity, about keeping our hearts pure, keeping our minds pure, keeping our spirits pure. And I don't teach this as a judge today. I've paid the price this last week for this message and for this teaching. I'm not an authority. I'm just obedient, and I need to talk about purity. Why do we need to prosper in purity? Proverbs 4 and 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because everything you do flows from it. That is a big deal, folks. That's a big deal. Guard your heart. Why? Because everything we do in life flows from the heart. And the truth is, we've excused ourselves for too long. If the heart is not right, nothing else is right. And I understand heart issues. What I'm teaching today, it's wide and varying. And I'm praying that the Lord, He lands this word where it needs to land. And you feel it in the places of your life that you need to feel it. And I'll get both specific and practical here as we move through this message the next few moments. But I want you to look at what Paul said, Philippians 4 and verse 8. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, look at this. He said, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, think about those things. Is your heart open today to hear the word? Is your spirit receptive? Lord, we want to prosper in all things, and we want to be in health. We want soul prosperity. So my prayer today is, Lord, help us to prosper in purity. Here's where we need to begin today. The first point, purity is mental discipline, not just moral behavior. Purity is mental discipline, not just moral behavior. Our behavior begins in the heart. What does that mean? That means whatever we ultimately do happened in the heart first. Ooh, I knew it would be quiet. We talk about slipping, we talk about tripping, we talk about the unexpected thing, but very little of what happens in our lives that is catastrophic, spiritually devastating, very little of that happens out of nowhere. It doesn't just appear. It's something that begins in the heart. And that's what Paul is telling us. There is a shift from behavior to our thought life. So it's not just, Lord, I want to stop sinning in this way, and so I'm going to stop taking my physical being into that space, or I'm going to stop walking into that particular place of business, or I'm going to stop typing that website into my browser. It's more than just behavior. It's more than just what fingers type or where feet walk. It is what's happening in the heart. And Paul said, if you can transition, if you can stop thinking about just actual behavior and start thinking about thought life and spirit life, if you can, whatever is pure, if you can think about those things. You know why? Because you can't live a pure life with a polluted mind. It's impossible. Whatever you consume mentally shapes what you produce spiritually. Again, that's the internal, external thing. What we entertain in our thoughts eventually manifest in our actions. If this is your first Sunday here, just hold on. We're gonna lots of hope, but we preach a real life word here at the Church Covington, and we talk about where we live and what we struggle with and what we deal with, and this is part of it. Because the truth is, compromised thinking eventually sabotages prosperity. Compromised thinking eventually sabotages prosperity. This is what we're trying to get ahead of. This is what we're trying to bring discipline to. This is what this new year and new alignment is all about. And so Paul teaches us that purity is sustained by intentional meditation. The King James uses the word. He said, meditate on these things. NIV, New King James, they say, think on these things. I really like the word meditate because it's stronger, it's deeper. It means I have to pause. They say we have, 50,000 thoughts in a day, 75,000 thoughts in a day. It may even be more than that. And you could almost think, well, this is just one of them. This is just one of the fleeting thoughts in my mind. And Paul said, no, it's deeper than that. I need you to consider this. I need you to lock in and focus on this. I need you to meditate on this. Because purity is sustained by intentional meditation or intentional thinking and not passive living. Here's the reason for that. Number two, our second point, impure thinking leaks prosperity. Impure thinking leaks prosperity. Prosperity leaks. That's why our prayers and our commitments are never one and done. We never just pray these prayers one time. Paul said, I die daily. I have to do this every single day. I mean, Paul, come on, bro. You're one of the greatest men to ever live. You're one of the strongest spiritual men, wrote so many books, more than half of this New Testament, so much of what we understand about Christian living. And Paul said, yeah, I did all of that with the help of the Holy Spirit, but I still have to die to my flesh every single day. I have to give myself to the Lord every single day, because everything in our heart, everything in our mind, everything in our flesh is working against us. Your spirit wanted to come to church today. Your body said, stay in that warm bed up under those covers. Your heart said, I want to see my friends. I want to worship. But your carnal self, your flesh said, no, this is a great day to make eggs. Except we don't have any eggs. And I'd have to go to the grocery store. And because somebody put a snowflake on Facebook, there are no eggs at the grocery store. Probably not any toilet paper either. You're out of luck. But he said, I've got to do this every day. Romans 8 and 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. He said it's enmity against God. I'm going to tell you what that means in just a moment. Your carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is powerful to me. The carnal mind, that's us, that's our flesh. The flesh of us, the mind of us, it is enmity with God. What does that mean? That means it is hostile toward God. My mind, the preacher preaching today, my mind is in opposition to God. Everything in me wants to do something else. Everything in me wants to go a different direction and pursue all of my wayward passions and all of my foolishness. Everything in me wants to do that. We're opposed to the things of God. And I I don't want to ruin your day, but he goes on to say that our flesh is not subject. Our flesh will not submit, and he even says that it neither indeed can be. Our flesh can never be submitted to God. I'm messing with your theology right now. I understand that. The best you can do is discipline your flesh. The best you can do is create good habits and good decisions around your flesh. But why is it that people that have been serving God for many, many years say, oh yeah, that's still a struggle for me. I still wrestle with that. You mean there's not a day we finally arrive that we're no longer tempted? One of the great older men of this church, I won't call his name, but he was my buddy. He said to me one time, he said, the only difference about getting my age is you just can't do anything about it. In other words, it never dies. It's always in your mind. It's always something you are pursuing. It's always a temptation that is pulling you in another direction. That's what Romans said is enmity against God. And so when you understand that, hey, everything in me but my spirit, everything in me wants to do something else. I have to bring all of that under subjection. I have to create ways for my life to submit. That's what makes fasting powerful. And I appreciate LaToya blaming it on me and getting the kids mad at me. But it's the Lord. It's a higher power than me. We're doing this to bring our flesh under subjection. That's why we understand that this is a fight. This is a fight. And too many are saying, since we can't win the fight, we'll just give in and allow the flesh to rule. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't play into the devil's schemes. Because the truth is, many, many people ask God for increase, but they refuse to guard their minds. We ask for prosperity, but we are unwilling to pay the price. Because prosperity leaks, purity leaks. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I'm not gonna do that, but it would be 100% of people that have brought a temptation to the altar, and you wept and cried and maybe shook. Oil was dabbed on your head. Somebody prayed the prayer of faith. Chains were broken, decrees and declares and all of that. But I wonder, maybe not right away, maybe not within hours, maybe not even within days, but at some point, how many were tempted again? It's 100%. Every one of us. That's why I have to die daily. Because purity leaks. Hear me, bitterness contaminates blessings. Pride poisons promotion. Dishonesty undermines longevity. Hear me, lust corrodes destiny. Don't miss that. Purity leaks. And it cost us more than we realize. And God will often slow external prosperity to protect us from internal impurity. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss it. And I see some of you writing and you're typing and you're trying to grasp. God will slow external prosperity. The thing we're praying for, the thing we're asking him to do, the thing we're wanting him to do, the thing we're requesting. He said, I have heard you. I heard you the first time. I heard you the 100th time. But I can't bless you like that yet because the internal is not where it needs to be. If I give you that job today, I'll never see you again in my presence. If I do that for you, you're not grounded enough in the internal. And so I end up holding back prosperity on the external because I'm trying to get you stronger internally. I'm trying to protect you from internal impurity. You know why? Because God is more concerned with who we are than what we obtain. Internal versus external. And Jesus himself said, Matthew 6:22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So he said, purity begins with what you see. I know our five senses are involved in this, but so much of it begins with what we see. And he said, if the lamp of the body is the eye, if therefore your eye is good, then the whole body will be full of light. Here's the third point. Purity creates capacity for sustainable prosperity. Purity creates capacity for sustainable prosperity. Remember the jars from last Sunday? The oil or the prosperity continued to flow as long as she had capacity. As long as she had another jar. You remember that verse in 2 Kings 4? She called her son, bring me another jar. He said, there are no more. And the Bible said that the oil ceased to flow because she ran out of capacity. So if we want more of or from God, we must make room for him. Because again, I cannot be full of the world and full of God. Prosper in purity. I can't be full of the world and full of God. I have to make a choice. You'll say, but Pastor Dale, I see other people living this way. Well, the Bible says we're not wise to compare ourselves to others. But I got friends that can do that, and it seemed like they have no problem. Maybe God has not called them to what he's called you to. Maybe that verse is true, that to whom much is given, much is required. And God has let you see something else. God has let you see more. Pastor, how are we going? How are we going to get it? It's no mistake that this week, twice, God has sent a word to say every seat was full, there was overflow, there was worship with abandon. It is no accident that this is the message that God had burning in my spirit for this house. Because he said, I'm going to call you to purity. I'm going to call you to sanctification. I'm going to call you out of sin. I'm going to charge you to get rid of the bitterness that contaminates the blessing and the pride that poisons your promotion, the dishonesty, the lust that corrupts. I'm going to call you out of that. I'm going to call because I want you to create capacity for more prosperity. I want more of God. I want more from God. So Lord, I am pushing things away. I'm moving things out of my life. I'm saying no to so many things. Why? Because I found out I've got more room in me than I realized I had. I've got more time available than I realized I had. Crazy thing about these iPhones, they will tell you how many hours a day you spend looking at them. Have you ever done that? It's one of the most depressing things you will ever see. There is no way I spent that much time looking at my phone. Yeah, we did. I get it. You may be reading the Bible on your phone. I get it. You may be reading devotions or you may be dead scrolling. I'm not here to judge. I'm just teaching. I'm just teaching. Do we have enough capacity? I want to clear the way for more capacity. Because when the soul is pure, When the soul is pure, prosperity does not change us. When the soul is pure, blessings will not replace dependence on God. When the soul is pure, success does not erode character. What if we had the internal so secure, so set, so established that somebody could drop $1 million on us and it wouldn't change us? Oh, Lord, we got to work on that one. We're not ready. Pure thinking creates clear decisions. We need that in 2026. Pure thinking creates healthy relationships. Anybody need that in 2026? Pure thinking creates financial integrity. Needed also in 2026. Pure thinking creates spiritual authority. We need that in 2026. And so, Paul said in Philippians, New King James Version, meditate on these things, because sustained purity requires ongoing focus. Oh man, when we get out of this sacred season, I'm gonna eat a cheeseburger, double meat, extra cheese. Eat the cheeseburger. In fact, I'll join you. But take that a little further. When I get out of this secret season, I am going to watch that show on Netflix. I don't feel right about watching it right now. But let me get out from under this drive, this quest for purity, and then I'm gonna abandon that verse that says, "Set no evil thing before your eyes." I've done real good. I've stayed away from those websites, but let me get out from under this sacred season. No. Meditate on these things, because sustained purity requires ongoing focus. No days off in 2026. What if we reach? I'm not saying we're ever going to be perfect. No, we're going to keep fighting this flesh, and it's going to be a daily battle. But what if we keep reaching every single day for the things of God? I need to give you this fourth point. Prosperity without purity is a trap. Prosperity without purity is a trap. I say it again, God is not against prosperity. He is against prosperity that destroys the person. Samson had power without purity, and he lost both. Saul had position without purity, and he lost the kingdom. Judas had access without purity and lost his soul. Joseph prospered because he maintained purity. I'll preach about it sometime, but the Bible says that Potiphar's wife, she had hold onto that coat of many colors. He was so proud and thankful and grateful. She had hold on that coat, and the Bible said he came out of that coat to run away from her. In other words, I'll leave that behind. I'll forsake that to stay pure, because I cannot give in to that. So Paul said, whatever is pure, because God is calling us to purity. Again, heart issues are wide and varying. Your challenge may not be someone else's challenge. But I believe the word will land where it's needed. But specifically, our world is leaning further and further into impurity. It would seem that the goal is to make the perverse normal. The enemy wants us broken. The enemy wants us sexually dysfunctional. And he wants us perverse. I told you I'd get specific, but you need to know today that Hollywood works for that enemy. And it breaks my heart. This is not conspiracy, and this is not political, and this is not anything else we want to blame it on. But I believe there are pedophile rings, trafficking hubs, dens of iniquity all around us. I have never in my life seen this quest for impurity where our kids are literally under threat at all times. And it's years and years and years of dysfunction. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea what's sitting in this room right now. You have no idea. If I told you, I'm not being hyperbolic. If I told you what was sitting in this room today, right now, my eyes are closed, so I'm not looking at anybody, but if I told you what was in this room right now, it would curl your hair. You have no idea what people have survived and are still trying to survive. People have come out of and what people have been through. Suffering at the hand of a parent, abused so severely because some person had grown so perverse that the perverse had become normal. It's from the highest offices to the slums of the world. And if the church doesn't cry out, who will? I say it knowing I'll face a battle this week. I'll be on Temptation Island all week. But we have no power if we are no better. The church has no spiritual authority if the church is not drawing lines of what is right and what is wrong. I understand we're all flesh. Church members are flesh. Salvation doesn't exclude us, exempt us, or even protect us from temptation. You struggle with the same things, tempted by the same things that anybody driving up and down 142 right now is tempted by. The difference is this. We are supposed to have our flesh on the altar. That means I don't fall for every temptation that comes because my thoughts have been girded up. My passions are captive to Christ in me. He said, whatever is pure. And I'm done, but this new theology of think, I don't know what else to call it. Whatever I think is right. Whatever I think is right is right. No. It only matters what this book says. And I know we got preachers in parks swinging on the wrong swings. in the pulpit lying on God, all to justify their sin. It's too much. I don't care if they're a pastor, a bishop, an apostle, or just a regular fool. But when they get on social media and tell you, hey, beloved, God put those desires in you, and you can do all of that outside of marriage. That's not what the Bible says. I understand it's what you want to do. I understand it's what I want to do sometimes. That's not what the Bible says. Can we prosper in purity? Jesus said it would be better to tie a stone around my neck than to hurt one of his kids. What if we just teach truth and help people? I'll say this and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Make a note. Read it. Read it this week in devotion. Pray on it. But those first two words, flee fornication. The word fornication in the original Greek is porneia. P-O-R-N-E-I-A. That's interesting. Because so much of what drives our culture today is the root of that word, porn. He said flee. Flee fornication. Flee porn. Run. I need every young man, every young woman, everybody in this room to hear me. Flee fornication. Today's porn celebrates everything that God hates. Paul said flee. He didn't say manage it. He didn't say pray about it. He didn't say just keep it to one day a week. He said, run. Run as fast as you can away from ungodliness. Pastor, you're judging me. I'm not. Pastor, I feel convicted. That's good. That's God. The Bible said not to sear. Don't sear that. Don't try to get away from that. Don't feel that. Let it drive you. Why? Because God is trying to prosper you in purity. If you want to prosper, guard what you watch. Filter what you listen to. Discipline what you think. And examine what entertains you. Purity is not restrictive. It's protective. Purity is not punishment. It's preparation for the best that God has for me. Pastor Darrell, I've struggled with this for years. This has been a part of my life for years. I've wrestled with this for years. And I'm not going to promise you that one prayer is going to break that, but I know God can. But I know God is a God who said, whatever is pure, meditate on that. Because when the soul prospers in purity, everything connected to it flourishes. Father, I've given them what you gave to me. My heart is heavy. My spirit is burdened. I hear you calling us to purity. I hear you calling us to sanctification, sacred things. I understand the addiction. recognize the dopamine hit. I understand the rush and the thrill, and all of it temporary. What I feel in your presence, God, is so much more. I pray for every heart, every mind, every spirit, and every body in this room. No matter the struggle, no matter the issue, I speak freedom over this house. I pray deliverance for this people. I declare this the day that you have made. And this is the day that something changes inside of us and we prosper in purity.